Oh, hello, hello.
Hello.
And welcome to the New York Mystery Machine.
Tammany's Hall, but for clearer sounding ghosts.
You guys, we are remote again this week, but we think we've... Last week, the episode wasn't the best quality, and we attributed a lot to Christina speaking in hushed tones. We today discovered actually why would happen. Christina is using the new microphone that we purchased, but the setting on her garage band where she records on her end was still set to her computer. And so that's why it wasn't clear and crisp as the money we spent should have made it.
Right. So sorry about that, folks. Technology is not my strong suit.
But we also discovered that Christina has to pause her recording when trains come because her new location is literally next to the train. And so you guys know when you listened to last week, you heard a lot of trains coming and going.
They are getting a slice of life in New York as it is lived.
I couldn't edit those out because Christina was speaking over it. So I was like, well, but because she's using the new microphone now, that should be also less because the new microphone should isolate those external sounds and concentrate on her. So look, we're learning, we're living, we're learning. Christina looks better than she did the other night when she looked very, very, you know, very out of it and grouchy. Yeah. And now she's into it. And I'm glad she's into it because we have a doozy of an episode today.
Before we get into a doozy.
And you know what? I'm nothing but someone who wants to give my, you know, best promises and make them come to fruition. Before we do, as always, we're inviting you to be part of our community in so many different ways. If it's your first time listening, if it's your 127th time listening, plus bonus episodes, we invite you to jump on board the New York Mystery Machine and helping us out in a few different ways. And the first way that you can help us out is if you have a hot take. What's a hot take, Christina? What do you think? How would you define one?
I would define a hot take as being a theory that is in your soul correct. Like it is, you have the conviction behind it, but to the rest of the world, you sound perfectly crazy, almost as crazy as someone who told doctors on the operating room table that she thought that they were alien abductors.
Yes. Yes, and there is there's a t-shirt that commemorates that, and Christina's wearing it. I think it's on the merch website, and if it's not, it'll go up on the merch website. And our merch website is nymysterymachine.com, where you get all your merch wants and needs. I'm still working on bugs to that one, but all of our basic stuff is up on that, so be sure to check that out. But on what we were just saying about the hot take, a hot take is a crazy thing. And sometimes it's a hotter take. Sometimes the takes are hot, sizzling hot. And sometimes they're just like, hey, I think this. We take hot takes of all temperatures here on the New York Mystery Machine. And the best way to share your hot take with us is by calling the hot take hotline. And that is 917-426-4262.
I mean, a great number.
It's a great number. If you can't remember that number, you don't want to write it down, it's in our show notes. You head on to the, you know, the description of the show. It's there. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, you can click right on the number and it dials you right in. If you're on Spotify or anywhere else, you'll have to just, you know, write it down. But there it is. Be sure to call in. Let us know your hot take. We want to hear it. We want to know it.
If you can figure out what that number spells on the keypad, let us know if there's something snazzy and related to hot take because we can't figure it out.
That's true. If you yourself have had a crazy thing happen to you in your life, there's a whole other website for that. You head on over to our show notes. You head on over to our link tree. I think what I'm going to do is make nymysterymachine.com hit our link tree so that you can just get into all of our access. That's what I'm going to do from now on. So for the phone number, for the true stories, for merchandise, head on over to nymysterymachine.com. It'll link to our link tree that has all of our links in it. That's a smart idea. Sometimes we discover ideas right on the show
in the moment.
And this is what's happening live in the moment. So be sure to head over to nymysterymachine.com and you can, you know, find all the things that you need to find. But we'd love to hear your scary stories, things that are happening to you, crazy, crazy things that have happened. They're paranormal. They're aliens. They're just weird. We want to hear about them. Head on over to nymysterymachine.com. Let us know your weird, crazy stories. We cannot wait to talk about them on the show. Yeah, we're going to do that. What else? Patreon. We got our Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we've got to get out of the business out in the beginning of the episode because Adam forgets the business at the end of the episode. So Patreon's a great way to support the show. Anyway, patreon.com/NYMysteryMachine. For as little as $3, you join the club. For as little as $5, you get a free episode every semester. Nope, that's not it. Every month. And the marches will be coming out at the end of the month. Oh, boy, that was a lot of things.
That is a lot of things, but I think that's everything.
I think that's everything. I think well, you better shake it out. I think I've done everything in my power to build your suspense so much that I could. Not even for you, listener, for Christina, because Christina ended last week's recording. If you listen to how Christina sounded when she said, I've been Christina Marinelli, you can tell me dropping this little teaser, she was like, I'm Christina Marinelli. Because she was interested in what was happening, because I didn't even tell her what this episode's going to be.
All I know is that it's a doozy.
Christina, a few weeks on the show, we made a discovery about our search patterns. We were both looking for a very specific kind of tale to tell on the show.
Yes. Do you recall
what that was?
Vampires.
It's a motherfucking vampire on the show.
Tammany sleeping or I would scream.
Tammany.
Oh my
tragedy.
God. I'm delighted and also devastated that you beat me to this.
Yes. I will say.
Tell me what was the search combination of words that you managed to put into the, because like I need to know for my sanity.
So I didn't find it on my own.
Mm.
Friend of the show, Jordan. Other Jordan, not original Patreon Jordan. There's two Jordans, and so we mentioned both on the show sometimes. So Jordan W. Friend of the show, Jordan W, sent me this incredible Etsy shop. And there's an artist who puts together all different cryptids. And she has a cryptid piece of artwork for the state of New York. Mm-hmm. And on the cryptid, I found this character. So I will give a quick shout out to this person's Etsy shop because I think her work is it's really dope. It's Lipstick Press on Etsy. They have a really, really dope things. And there's a whole little poster of all these different, cryptids from New York. It has sewer alligators. It has, I'm thinking of the ones that we have. It has Champy, sewer alligators, and a few of the ones that we want to cover that we haven't covered yet. The Montauk Monster we've mentioned a little bit. There's a few of them. But on this list was today's character. And I heard the name. And I needed to find this person. And the name of this cryptid was called Ludwig the Bloodsucker.
Oh my gosh.
And so,
that's a great name for a vampire.
And excellent. So here we are. So this may not be just any vampire. This actually may be the country's first confirmed vampire.
Ooh. Early day.
We're in the 1800s.
Vampire? Oh,
we're in the 1800s.
Federal period vampire.
Okay. Confirmed is a stretch. And here's the thing. Vampire may also be a stretch too. But we're going to get into it. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into it all. Because we, much like my episode a couple of weeks back on Cropsy, today's episode is a tale of two stories. A tale of a urban legend and a tale of where this urban legend originated from. Okay. Meaning we got perhaps evidence of Ludwig's existence. So let's get into it. Let's get to it. So vampires in the Northeast are actually not brand new. Okay. In 1892, there was something called the Great New England Vampire Panic.
See, this is what kept coming up for me, and I kept getting very disappointed because if it was Connecticut, I could argue in the colonial period, we were Connecticut, and I would have had this problem. Go on.
As exciting as that sounds, I'm positive I'm going to cover the Great New England Vampire Panic in a future episode, and that's called a tease in the biz, folks. We're going to cover that eventually, but today we're not doing that. We're heading to New York City because that's what our show is. And we're in the mid to late 19th century, and we're in the Bowery section of the Lower East Side of Manhattan now. If you've been on the journey with us for a while, and a lot of you have, thanks for staying on board. You, or if you know a little bit about New York City history, you know that in the 19th century, this area of New York City is pretty awful. It's the pits.
Yeah.
The minute you walked into the Bowery section of the Lower East Side, your whole life got a lot worse. If you kept going through the Bowery just a few blocks, you'd hit the notorious, the famous 5 Point section of Manhattan. And we've mentioned 5 Points on the show a lot. And do you know what episodes we talk about 5 Points the most during?
Which?
Well, not episode, but what type of episode we mention it mostly?
Oh, mobs and... Mobs. Murder.
Yeah.
Murder and
it's
mobs.
Murder. It's mostly murders. There's some mob stuff in the 19th century, but all the so many of the old New York episodes of the 19th century take place in this area of New York City.
Shakespeare? Pretty sure old Shakespeare was Bowery.
Yep. Old Shakespeare was Lower East Side and Bowery by 5 Points, like so many of them have. 5 Points, for new listeners, was an area of Manhattan built upon a pollution plate collect pond. In old times, collect ponds were spots where you got all your fresh drinking water, and New York was no stranger to that. We had that as well in the 1700s. In fact, for the first 2 centuries of European settlement in Manhattan, the main source of drinking water was the collect pond. But beginning in the 18th century, various commercial enterprises were built by the shores of the pond in order to use the water. So in order to use that for their businesses, they went right next to the pond. And these businesses included Colhard's Brewery, Nicholas Bayard's Slaughterhouse on Mulberry Street, tanneries, pottery works, pot bakers, so many different spots. Messy places. And because they're so messy, they contaminated the water.
Mm.
And their wastewater would slowly flow back down into the pond, making it severely toxic. The pollution was insane. I mean, it was basically an environmental health hazard.
Yeah.
Now, Pierre Charles Lafont proposed cleaning the pond and making it a centerpiece of a recreational park in which residential areas could grow around, and it could be a focus of what this new area of Manhattan could be. Well, his proposal was rejected. And instead, they were like, you know what we can do that's going to be a lot cheaper? Let's just fill it.
Ah, like you do. Who needs
like
water?
You do. So it became a landfill, completed in 1811, and middle-class homes were soon built there. The landfill was, of course, poorly engineered. The buried vegetation began to release methane gas, which was a byproduct of all the decomposition that was happening in the area. It lacked adequate storm sewers. So as a result, the ground gradually subsided. Houses shifted down the foundations. The unpaved streets were buried in a foot of mud mixed with human and animal excrement, and mosquitoes bred in the stagnant pools created by the poor drainage.
That's hideous.
So with that saying, this area, which was once the home to many middle and upper class inhabitants, they all left, leaving the neighborhood open to poor immigrants arriving in the early 1820s. It's important that I say all this information because situating you, the listener, a phrase I haven't said in so long, situating you into where we are in place and time is important to the story of Ludwig. So this is what 5 Points is built on. It's named after an intersection of Orange, Anthony, and Park Streets where 5 Points meet. And after 1820, the residents were largely immigrants or free African Americans. In the 1870s, we saw a large Jewish population, Eastern European, Chinese, Italian. Even today, it's regarded as one of America's first successful multi-ethnic neighborhoods.
Hmm.
If you discount all the crime and even the vampires we're getting there, it was actually a really important piece of the idea of the Manhattan, of the New York melting pot.
Hmm.
Again, it's important to tell you the setting of the story so very clearly so you could understand the vampire of it all. 5 Points rivaled the slums of London's East End, a notorious example of urban destitution, disease, unemployment, sweatshops, child mortality, and filth that was synonymous with crime and sex work. The Bowery on the eastern edge of Five Points featured taverns and dance halls, oyster bars, and gambling establishments, and was known for its routine and brutal murders. Ethnic and neighbor tensions were often played out in the violence of street gangs that control parts of Five Points, especially in the Bowery area. If you've ever seen the film Gangs of New York, this is where Gangs of New York takes place, in the Bowery. Hmm. Well, during this time, New Yorkers in the area warned each other about a deviant roaming the area. Ooh. An urban legend, perhaps, that may have been too real. Who was the monster who terrified these slums in New York? His name was Ludwig the Bloodsucker. And he notoriously hung around the dives, the dance halls, the taverns, the oyster bars, and places where the dissolute hung out. And that is why it's so important to situate us. Because Ludwig the Bloodsucker probably would not have succeeded too well on the upper sides of Manhattan at the time. But he did do pretty darn well in lower Manhattan, where no one gave a shit about anyone who was living there.
Right, and any blood would just sort of mix in with the blood and fecal matter and waste of the tanner, et cetera.
You got
it. The tanneries and all that.
Now, we've all lived through many depictions of vampires. We have heartthrobs like Bela Lugosi in 1931's Dracula, David Boreanaz in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Robert Pattinson in Twilight, and of course, the sexiest of them all, Matt Berry in What We Do in the Shadows.
Obviously.
But Ludwig didn't seduce his victims with his looks. For Ludwig was said to be only about 3 feet tall, incredibly hairy, and looked like a gnome. Where did he come from? Well, his exploits were set to begin in a place we know very well from last week, Germany.
Oh, well, hence Ludwig.
But remember, Ludwig was short, he was ugly, and he was weak. He was far too weak to take down the strapping men of Germany, and far, far, far too ugly to seduce the women of Germany. So one day, the devil of the night cut his losses. He stowed himself on a ship headed to America and lived out the American dream of being its first vampire.
That is the dream.
But Ludwig had a problem. He was still short. He was still ugly. And he was still weak. Well, Ludwig realized that maybe he was too weak to now take down the strapping, sober men of the Bowery. But what about the drunks of the Bowery?
I was going to say, and sober.
And fortunately for him, the Bowery was chock full of them. So Ludwig was said to target local drunks who had recently been drinking all night, many of whom had been thrown out of bars for thrown out of the bars for starting bar fights. Now, the Bowery, as I said before, is chock full of rowdy dive bars, frequent bar fights, and prostitution galore. According to his victims, Ludwig would wait for a bar fight to break out in Bismarck Hall or the House Commons, which were two defunct bars he was alleged to frequent. And he would sink his fangs into the drunk and disoriented who was thrown out of the bar. Ludwig targeted drunk victims, not only because they were easy targets, but because their blood alcohol concentration level gave him a nice buzz as well.
Incredible.
That's right, folks. You indeed, if you are a vampire and you decide to suck a drunk person's blood, you in fact can get secondhand drunk from their blood, as seen on the seminal TV show What We Do in the Shadows.
That's true. That's true. That is accurate. I'm glad to know that they did their homework.
But what would become of his victims? Would they become children of the night? Doomed to an eternity of bloodlust? Nah. Ludwig was pretty chill. He wouldn't kill or turn his victims into vampires, mainly because I don't know if that's possible in reality. But the legend said that he would just take a pint for himself, get a mean buzz off of it, and let his victims walk free.
I think we missed an important part of this conversation.
Yeah.
Where on the Mulder to Scully scale do you fall with a vampire?
Oh gosh. I want to believe in vampires. I think I'm just a Reyes all the way through. I want to believe in everything, but I have so many reasonable doubts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think this is one of the few things where I'm a Scully. I don't, maybe a Doggett.
I mean, I will say, and for aliens, I'm a full on Mulder.
Mm-hmm.
Aliens, I truly believe that the truth is out there. There are
mm-hmm.
aliens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
P.S. There may be a bonus episode coming soon about aliens.
I mean,
based on a lot of information that's been dropping by from the government and the New York Times. Yeah, so I think in Aliens, I follow Mulder because I do really think there's. I have a hard time believing that we're not, that we're alone.
Do you believe they're among us as a Mulder?
Yeah, I think they're either among us or have been among us. They have touched down and visited land.
Okay, just checking.
There's just so much evidence to say that, and also. Logically, the universe is so infinite and big to believe that we're special enough to be the only inhabitants of that universe is egotistical and wrong.
There you have it, folks.
For aliens, I think it's for vampires, I don't know. I think it'd be cool that they exist. And I think it depends what your definition of a vampire is.
Okay.
Because we're going to find
a Mulder clip about all the different kinds of vampires there are. I will send that to you.
Because if your idea of a vampire is someone who sucks someone's blood, minimum, they exist. Because we're talking about one right now. And we're going to learn even more about this one in a little bit. If you're talking about vampires that turn into bats, that, you know, turn other people to vampires, I don't know. It's also worth noting.
It's worth noting.
That we say that Ludwig was pretty chill. He would take a pint and let his victim live. But... these drunk victims who just lost a pint of blood, I don't know if they all would have lived because they lost a pint of blood. They're drunk in an alley and probably aren't getting enough help before they bleed out of their neck. So, yeah, I think that it's a little challenging to say he just let them live. I mean, yes, in theory, he let them live. I don't think they actually did live.
Right. Okay, that's fair.
Now, this is all pretty interesting, right? A few weeks ago on the show, again, we learned that, tragically, some urban legends are, in fact, based on truth, right?
Mm.
On the Cropsey episode, we talked about an urban legend and a big question of that urban legend. So there was truth to it. We found a whole story of the real-life Cropsey, right, who wasn't named Cropsey, but who shared so much of the actual legend and myth of Cropsey that we can only assume that's who it was. And Christina, you posed a really important question. What came first, the chicken or the egg, right?
Right.
Was Cropsey the urban legend? Was he based off the urban legend, or is the urban legend based off him? Well, we're in the same exact situation today. Was Ludwig the bloodsucker based on a real person, or did the person base himself on the legend? Because Ludwig the bloodsucker, as an individual, wasn't a myth. In fact, his name was Franz Ludwig Hellriegel.
Wow, that is a name too.
Hellriegel. Riegel. Riegel.
Is it I-E or E-I?
E-I.
Eigel.
Eigel. Hellriegel. He was born in Germany in 1824. Hellriegel and his wife, Margaretha, raised a large family and resided at times on the Lower East Side and across the river in Brooklyn. They themselves were not poor. They owned property. He was a tailor by profession. Hellriegel did, in fact, have a peculiar taste in liquids. Those liquids being that of
blood.
Blood.
Hmm.
Now you say to me, Christina, how do we know this about this person? You know,
yeah, how do we know this if we don't?
Because we're living in the 1800s. This isn't like Cropsey, who was like doing his business in 1970s and 80s, and we have lots of information flowing through. How do we have all this? Well, Christina, when we get back from the break, we're gonna hear from the vampire himself.
He wrote a memoir?
And that, my friends, is a cliffhanger. We'll be right back. Let's talk about Audible.
Yes. Audible is the leading provider of spoken word entertainment and audiobooks, ranging from bestsellers to memoirs, news, business, and more. And now you can start your own free trial by heading to www.audibletrial.com
/NYMysteryMachine.
Your free 30-day trial comes with 1 credit, 2 credit for Amazon Prime members, good for any premium selection titles you like, yours to keep. The Audible Plus catalog consists of podcasts, audiobooks, guided wellness, and Audible originals. Listen all you want, no credits needed.
Audible allows you to download titles and listen offline, anytime, anywhere. Perfect for long trips or even cozy afternoons to yourself.
The app is free and can be installed on smartphones and tablets, and you can listen across devices without losing your spot.
I just recently checked out The Mad Sculptor by Harold Schechter, which we based a whole episode on.
You're darn right we did. And I'm sure they have even more true crime and paranormal books in the collection as well.
Again, Audible isn't just audiobooks. They have podcasts, guided wellness programs, theatrical performances, A-list comedy, and exclusive Audible originals you won't find anywhere else.
Wait, podcast? Does that include the New York Mystery Machine?
Sure does. To start your free 30-day trial, head to www.audibletrial.com/NY Mystery Machine.
That's www.audibletrial.com/NY Mystery Machine. The New York Mystery Machine is brought to you in part by listeners like you.
That's right. Head on over to our Patreon, and for as little as $3 a month, you can help keep the pod growing.
By joining, you can access a whole bunch of cool stuff, such as mini episodes, swag, exclusive playlists, and more.
Head to www.patreon.com/NYMysteryMachine to find out more and become a patron.
That's www.patreon.com/NYMysteryMachine and join our ever-growing community today. Okay, we are back.
We're back. There are vampires.
And Franz Ludwig Hallreigel, or Ludwig the Bloodsucker's exploits, were actually documented in the New York Mercury and later reprinted in the National Police Gazette. In the article, the Bloodsucker himself tells his story. Now, I tried writing and citing this article as much as I physically could. But I realized after my second attempt that it doesn't do it justice. Mm-hmm. It's too good of a story to paraphrase. So I'm just going to read the article.
Please.
And Christina, feel free to stop as we do and to comment, because there's going to be a lot to talk about.
Okay.
So this is the original article from the New York Mercury. The title is A Human Bloodsucker. Subtitle is Strange Story of a German Tailor Who Has Developed a Dangerous Fondness for the Blood of Human Beings.
That's my kind of title, for the record.
I know.
That's a Christina Super Marinelli long. Title.
A German tailor living in Avenue B between 2nd and 3rd Streets has acquired from his neighbors the singular name of Bloodsucker. He not only indulges in animal blood as a tonic beverage, but expresses a preference for human blood whenever and wherever he can get it. This singular appetite was first made public by domestic troubles, which ended in permanent separation between Hallreigel and his wife. She, on her part, charging him with a dangerous inclination to gratify his unnatural thirst for blood at her expense.
Oh my God.
I know. So first off, people find out about this because he breaks up with his wife, and she's like, "You guys need to know that my husband drinks blood."
That is
like, be cool, girl. It's like, look, we know that divorce is messy, and sometimes things come out of the woodwork, and we don't, you know, and secrets get revealed. But my word, she dropped a bombshell. She dropped a bombshell.
I think she won. I think she won that divorce.
Hallreigel is a diminutive, swarthy man. Swarthy,
that word.
Sam used to always call me a swarthy person, and now it all makes sense. His head, no. His head is very large and covered with a shock of bristly black hair that makes his head appear out of all proportion to his body. So he has a weirdly very large head that doesn't fit his body. Things are not looking well for this man.
No.
Hair seems to grow everywhere upon the man. Even upon the tip of his nose, there is a considerable amount of tuft of hair. He has a hairy nose.
Incredible.
He is not a prepossessing man in appearance. And this probably has something to do with prejudicing many against him. When asked by a reporter if it was true that he habitually drank human blood, he answered by asking if the reporter was acquainted with his former wife, Margarita. On being assured that there was no such acquaintance, he then readily and freely told his story.
I love that. I love the idea.
Wait. Do you know Margarita?
Did Margarita tell you this?
Did she tell you this?
Did she talk to my wife?
Because if she said this, don't believe her.
She didn't say it. In that case,
all right. Well, in that case, yes, it's true that I drank blood, said Helreich. He opens with admitting to it. He's like, first you think he's going to say, where'd you hear this from?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Yeah, it's true. Yes, it's true. I drank the blood. Two weeks in a row. No, because I didn't know yours was going to be German last week.
That's true.
I wrote this before your episode came, before we recorded your episode.
The universe needs you to really
I did not know that it was going to need to be German 2 weeks in a row. I apologize. And don't.
Yeah, don't.
Yes, it's true that I drink blood, said Helreigel. And it is good for me. It is a good medicine. It makes me strong. The Germans eat blood sausages, and they all say it is good. But when I drink mine, they say it is bad, and they call me a bloodsucker.
Because it's cannibalism, you freaking weirdo.
Now, what is the difference whether I take the blood before it is made into sausages or afterward? They make a fuss about nothing. But all the trouble came from that woman, Margarita. She told all the women that I couldn't live without drinking blood of some person. And the women, they told that story to everybody for their truth, but it is not so. She told them that I used to bite her arms in the night when she was asleep and then suck the blood. She made so much trouble. This is the reporter. But didn't you sometimes bite her arms? Well, yes.
I love the honesty.
Well, yes, I did bite her sometimes, but it was not for the blood. Although the blood from a person is better than that of an animal. It is just as much better as good wine is better than some common wine. If you would try it once, you would see the difference. Human blood is richer and it has a finer flavor. Stand by. It's worth noting. That he mentions that he bites his wife casually. He's like, yeah, I bite her. That's not why I do it. Then why do you do it? We never know. Maybe it's his thing.
It sounds like he's dancing around his sex life here.
I feel that he's trying to be like, I have a biting fetish.
Mm-hmm.
And don't judge me. I think people are trying to yuck his yums. Here on the New York Mystery Machine, we certainly don't yuck people's yums.
I probably yuck the drinking of people's blood.
But people like do it. I assume people drink people's blood. I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, as long as they're a willing participant. It's weird if you're trying to suck people's blood and they don't want that. Which Margarita doesn't seem to be into it.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. Consent is always Kate. Here on the New York Mystery Machine in life.
Blood sucking.
Anytime you're doing anything with your mouth especially, consent is 100% key.
Mm-hmm.
When questioned as to how he came to acquire such a singular appetite, Helreigel said, it's begun in childhood. He was a small, delicate child, and being the last survivor of six, his parents spared no trouble or expenses to raise him. In Germany, the poorer classes eat very little meat, while the children get almost none at all. But in Helreigel's case, the doctor pronounced it poverty of the blood and ordered a solid meat diet for the child. Even this did not have the desired effect, and raw meat, and finally blood, still warm from the animal, was given to him. Every morning, his mother would take him to the butcher, where for four, I don't fennings, I think is the currency. Where for four fennings, German money, a good drink of warm blood was obtained. The mother herself first tasted the blood to see if it was fresh and pure, or as Hallreigel expressed, not humbugged.
God. I have a question.
Yes, Christina, you in the back.
What was the butcher going to do with this blood? Why is this not free? Why did he have to pay four fennings or whatever to drink the animal blood that I'm pretty sure was just going to... Oh, no, the blood sausages. Never
you
mind.
Mean, yeah, I'm about to say, question. Yeah, no, there. I mean, and there's sausages. Actually, and there is... Gosh, this is another New York Mystery Machine thing that we do in the future. There is many old recipes that require fresh animal blood. How do you know this, Adam? Well, because I was doing this episode and I was like, what do people need fresh blood for? And there's actually many recipes, including blood sausage, that require fresh blood for.
This is a good point. I do love me some black and white pudding on like a full Irish breakfast, so I can't talk.
I was just having a conversation with someone about Irish/English breakfasts, and I was like, the only thing I can't get behind yet is the blood pudding. It's something I want to get behind.
I think the key is you start eating it as a child and you don't ask questions about what it is until you're in your 20s or 30s, and then you find out and you go, well, it's too late. I've developed a taste for blood. Oh my God.
Oh my God. You're halfway there. You're literally halfway there.
Don't like this.
You're literally halfway there. You have a taste for blood.
I
hate
this.
You guys, we figured it out. Christine's actually a vampire.
That's why I haven't wanted to cover it on the New York Mystery Machine. I'm like, yeah, I'm looking it up. You don't want to reveal too much about my kind.
The article continues. In this way, he soon acquired an appetite for fresh blood. A cut or some similar accident when a boy at school first gave him a taste of human blood. Okay. Sorry. 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 So.
Yep.
There's an accident at school with a boy. Yeah. And he ended up getting cut.
Yeah. Scraped.
And you were like, huh. Let me see that cut for a second. And then you just like put his finger in your mouth. Because I assume at this point in the game, he's tasted his own blood.
Right. Who hasn't? Who hasn't gotten a paper cut and like, you know.
Yeah. I mean. So I assume this means.
Alternatively, this kid cut himself and said, would you like to lick my blood? Which it's unclear from the phrasing of the article.
Would you like to lick my blood? No. You're a moss. You're a moss. Perceiving at once a difference and that human blood was superior to animal, Hallreigel acquired an actual appetite, a craving for the former. One reason for this preference was, he thought, because human blood was very difficult to obtain. At parting, Hallreigel warned the reporter against heeding the slanders of his neighbors. I like blood because it is good. But there are foolish women who think I am that bat which sucks the blood of people's feet at night until they are dead. I am not like that. And they tell lies about me when they call me bloodsucker. I believe some of them think I would suck the blood from my own veins if I could not get it from another person. But that is a humbug. I like a glass of human blood just as people like a glass of good wine. It brings a good feeling, makes me fresh and healthy. Good wine does that same thing. There's no difference. Okay. Let's go back. In the 1890s, are we led to believe that people think vampires suck the blood of people's feet?
Thank you for honing in on this, Adam. That was going to be my question to you. I know a lot of things about vampires.
Yeah,
I know,
of course.
Typically, you know, you hear things like redhead, sometimes vampire.
What?
Yeah, it's something about redhead.
Did you marry one? Jesus Christ, Christina!
I don't like where this is all headed, honestly. honestly.
New checklist. Are you a vampire?
Are you a vampire?
Oh, God.
You know, oh, God. Oh, God. Adam. You know what the next thing I was going to say was?
Tell me.
Vampires, notoriously, OCD. Fuck me. Adam.
Well, here's this.
This is getting... I did not plan this. I gotta stop talking. Anyway, feet. Didn't think that was a thing.
Yeah.
I'm not fond of feet, personally.
Neither are I don't think of vampires. I've never heard vampires sucking the blood of feet. Until they're dead. I guess when you're laying down, all the blood is like rushing towards your feet.
It seems like it would be easier if you were standing up. Wouldn't that be when the blood was rushing to your feet?
Well, you know, when you're feeling faint, and I know this because I get very dizzy from blood all the time. I can't give... The last time I gave blood, I passed out. Mm. And every time I give blood, I get a little lightheaded. And anytime you're lightheaded, you're supposed to raise your legs up so all the blood from your feet and legs rush back to your heart. So maybe when you're, like, not that way, there's a lot of blood access at your feet.
Okay.
There you have it. But the idea that a glass of blood mm-hmm. is as good as a glass of wine, mm-hmm, sir. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, sir. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There is no difference. I beg to differ.
Yeah. I beg to differ. Yeah, I've got a lot of issues with this.
Now, that's where the interview ends, and that's kind of where the history of this man ends. We don't really...
I'm sorry. The reporter just said, okay, that's good enough for me. Yep, done.
Good enough for me!
So how are you getting your blood, Ludwig? How are you doing it?
Yeah. The article ends with the quote about it being just as good as... a glass of wine,
and that he's not getting it through people's feet.
And then, like,
not
the next
article about it.
The next article just like begins, and it's cut off. And every time I've tried to find this article, I've only found this little clip. Mm. And the next one begins: attempted assault on an Indian in something. So
unrelated to Ludwig.
Okay. They just went on to the next article.
Yeah,
it's all cut off.
I can't see. The question has to be, so where are you getting the blood from, Ludwig?
Like that, Ludwig, where are you getting the blood, bud? Where are you getting the blood?
He just denied getting it from people's feet and said that his wife is slanderous. I'm waiting. How are you coming by this blood?
Now, here's the thing. Ooh, haven't done this in a while. Third time's a charm. It's worth noting. There are contemporary newspaper accounts that basically say some doctors, following quack theories, prescribe the ingesting of blood to alleviate certain medical conditions, especially the consumption, which is tuberculosis.
Okay.
So there are people in history who believe that consuming blood was actually good for you. That is not the main theory, but there were people who did believe it of the time.
Sure.
That's what it was.
I mean, they also believed in bloodletting, right? Like leeches and things to...
Yeah. I searched high and low. Mm. And though we know where Ludwig comes from, though we know where he was in time and space, I cannot, and neither can any article I've looked at, find any record of Hellriegel's death.
That is...
I can't find it anywhere.
Interesting.
No articles found it. I can't find it anywhere.
You know why?
Tell me.
Vampires don't die.
Vampires don't die.
Doesn't drive a stake through their heart. No one drove a stake through his heart.
No
He's
one
still
drove
out there.
A stake. Look, we learn a bunch about this guy. He's a short dude. He's hairy. He has, you know, hair on his nose. He lived on the Lower East Side and in Brooklyn across the river. Do you know what's across the river in Brooklyn from the Lower East Side?
No.
It's Williamsburg.
Oh, God, you're right. Yes, of course.
It's like, chances are, the other place he lived was Williamsburg, because that's that's right across the river from the Lower East mm-hmm. Side in Brooklyn. He did, in fact, visit the Bowery. He did, in fact, drink a lot of blood. So the question remains, was Ludwig the Bloodsucker, was he Ludwig Hellreigel? Were they the same? In the story that we learn, he's drinking blood from different places. But the one thing we don't get from this article is where he gets the human blood from.
Yeah, I'm really stuck on that point.
You're not Satan. Where are you getting the human blood from? Yeah. We know where you can get animal blood from.
Yeah. For Fennings, we went over this, but the human blood, and apparently he's not biting the arm.
He says specifically, mm-hmm. I like a glass of human blood just as people like a glass of good wine. So correct. Where is the blood coming from, Ludwig? Where is the blood coming from? So
What do you think, Adam?
I think he's this urban legend. I don't know. Where do you get the human blood from? Where do you get enough human blood that it fills a glass?
I will say that initially I anticipated Margarita saying that he would go for her menstrual blood.
Ooh, yes.
That's where I thought this was going. And that all the other women were saying, and maybe he's uncomfortable with the world knowing that because of propriety issues of the time. And so therefore he said it was slanderous. But for the record, Ludwig, if you're listening to this, I think it's far worse to let people think that you are out there possibly murdering people. Because I don't know how else you're getting this blood.
Yeah. I mean, look, his wife tells people that he's drinking animal blood and that he likes human blood. He himself says he liked that. That part of the article, for me, I was like, all right, dude, there's a clear misconception. You like drinking animal blood. That's totes fine. Mm-hmm. But he admits to how much he likes drinking human blood.
Kind of makes me wonder if he's doing it as regularly as people have a glass of wine. How much human blood is he drinking? And again,
from where?
Whence are you getting this blood, sir? Morgues?
Yeah.
Maybe he knows a doctor?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Is he getting the drainage from dead people? I don't know. It's gross. I don't like it. I'm sorry. I don't want to get anyone's yums, but yeah, it's gross. Hmm. we don't really find out whatever happens to old Ludwig. We don't know where he gets the human blood. Perhaps he is the mythical creature, Ludwig the Bloodsucker, mm-hmm. not just by name, but actually by trade. And he is doing the things. He's hanging out at the brothels and he's hanging out at the clubs and the taverns at night and sucking blood from people.
Yep.
Well, folks, if you have a theory, if you know where Ludwig is right now,
because I am not convinced that he isn't like Eugene Toombs and just out there living.
He's just living his life, his big vampire life.
And yes, for any X-Files listening, I know Eugene Toombs ate livers, not drink blood, whatever.
Now, Christina, after hearing the story, where are you on the Mulder Scully scale? Patent pending.
I would say I am a Reyes on the existence of vampires in all their forms, and a Mulder insofar as a vampire is someone who drinks blood. Because obviously he's admitted to this.
Which at the top of this episode, you were a Scully.
I said a Scully, maybe a Doggett. I'm probably somewhere between a Reyes, on average, a Reyes and a Doggett right now.
We've never had a moment where you drastically changed your opinion.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
halfway is drastic.
Halfway is drastic.
Well, there you have it.
Well done. Well done,
What do you guys think? Hit us up on the Hot Take Hotline. Let us know your thoughts. You know, what do you think of this whole situation?
Yeah.
Where are you on the scale? Dial us in. We'd love to know. Also, we'd love to know any crazy stories happening to you. Have you had an encounter with a vampire?
Yeah.
Let us know. Head on over to nymysterymachine.com and click the link to share your story with us. We'd love to hear it. While you're clicking links and stuff, head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Audible and be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review. Let us know what you love about the show. Let us know what you want to hear about the show and what the show does to your spirit each day. We'd love to hear it. We are back next week with an all new episode of the New York Mystery Machine. I promised you, Christina, it was a doozy today.
It was a doozy.
I'm so glad I found a vampire before you did.
I remain devastated about this fact. Really, really am very frustrated here. But it was a delightful story that it's a doozy. It's an excellent doozy.
I am the most devious man in all of New York City. I've been Adam Mays.
I've been Christina Marinelli.
And thank you ever so much for taking a ride on the New York Mystery Machine.
Tavern Hall, but for ghosts.